Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Doonland Christian Living Today. This is Elliot Osmussen, founder of Doonland Christian Living, along with co-founder, my wife, Dawn. How are you tonight, Dawn?
Hi, Elliot. I'm doing great. Thank you.
We're not going to talk about the weather, as we agreed this morning. Okay, so we're just going to leave that at that.
We could talk about the melting ice.
Okay, it's melting outside. That's the closest we'll get.
We're excited.
Finally, we see some other color other than white. It's called brown. So, anyhow, it's getting closer to the time of year where things start to bloom, and hopefully everybody has joined us on time tonight. We know with daylight savings time now kicking in so much earlier that everybody's body clock may not be functioning be functioning on the right time frame just yet, but we hope that you're doing well this evening. And we thank you for listening to our ministry, and we thank you for supporting everything that we're doing here. We love to hear from you, and we just open up the opportunity for you to give us a note at pigshare@dclnetwork.org. Drop us a line, ask about our newsletter, get on our email news list so that you can receive that weekly newsletter from us. Or just follow us on Facebook and like us on Facebook and follow us at Twitter. One of these days I'll
do that. Whatever way that goes.
Whichever way that goes. We try that. Social media thing, I'm not sure. But we're out there, and we hope that you're able to follow us tonight. We're going to be spending a little bit of time with you, and for some reason, as I mentioned last week, we're continuing to focus on the Old Testament. I'm not really sure why. Eventually, I'll probably come out of this, and maybe I'll get hooked on Psalms or something, maybe
right
even
now,
Proverbs.
You and God are the only ones who know why.
Yeah, so we're moving forward. We're going to be working in Isaiah today. Dawn, anything you want to bring forward before we get started tonight?
No, I'm just happy to be here. Looking forward to next week. We've got a meeting or two that will work toward moving our ministry forward again. I'm excited to know that those things are in place.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's hard to have patience when you just feel that the call is just so strong. So we're trying to be patient, and we're trying to be faithful, and we look forward to that conversation this week.
I'll have that patience for you.
Thanks. One of us has to have it. All right, so you give a double dose for me.
I got it.
All right, very good. Dawn, what are we going to be listening to tonight?
Tonight we're going to listen to, from a music standpoint, I love to tell the story. Everything we do on this radio we listen to, but I'm just saying. I love to tell the story of one of my favorite songs. Just so many great memories from it, and of course I do it a little bit more hipster, but whatever.
Hipster.
That's
okay.
What I'm liking.
All right, so... We're now hipsters. All right, well, here we go.
No, not you.
Just you. All right, well, Love Came to Me by Dawn. So we'll come back right after the song and work in our verse for this evening.
I know it's true.
every time I hear that. I just love your version, but I always got to remember back to Robert Duvall and the Apostle as he's singing that with his mother driving on the way back from church. It's just something about that is that old favorite. And
you'll have to show me that clip. I don't recall.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that in there for me. So anyhow, I want to bring us forward now to start our discussion on the lesson for tonight. And this is a little bit of a theme that some of this we covered today, Dawn, in church today. I think you'll find it easy to connect the points of 1 Corinthians today to some of the texts in Isaiah. So,
that's good because I wasn't seeing it.
All right. Well, we'll see where it leads us. So you want to give us our text for today?
Yes. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Okay. So as you go through that, Dawn, what first comes out to you, and do you want me to immediately try to make a bridge to First Corinthians?
I'm going to tell you how I feel about this first.
Let's hear that.
And then you can do what you want. I find this a little odd because I don't really see Jesus as a bragger. So here comes this prophet, Isaiah, and he's going to say, this is what Jesus is saying, or this is what God is saying. Well, there's an inch of nana, nana, boo, boo on it. I know that sounds weird, but I'm like, why is he bragging? Why is he feeling so compelled to point this out? My ways and my thoughts, they're all bigger and better than yours.
This is God speaking.
Why?
Bigger and better than our thoughts. His plans are something to the extent that we don't understand. Nor do we necessarily be able to comprehend where his grace is going to go and how wide it is and how deep it flows.
So you're saying it's not necessarily bragging so much as don't miss this because this is your reality.
The reality is how big the magnitude of God. Understand that a couple things here. God's purposes are God's purposes. We hope to understand and we hope to be able to serve him in achieving his desires for his creation. But they are God's. So when he starts off by saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, it's because I have, meaning God, he has bigger plans than what we can ever conceive. Our little nanosecond of life and our narrow pathway of which we walk through this world is just one little small speck of consideration of God's greater plan.
Well, but people have such huge egos that it's hard for me to believe that people were happy and or comfortable with what the prophet brought to them.
Well, I think they're probably not. I think it's a very challenging point of view to say, hey, you think you, and this goes into our First Corinthians test, you think you have an understanding of this world. God is telling us that, no, you have
not even close.
You have just a little insight into his magnitude and into his grace and into his mercy. We have, and that's where we're faced with this issue of First Corinthians today, where we talk about the foolishness of the cross, right? That God would come to save the world through the cross. How could we ever fathom that was the right path? We wanted a king to conquer.
I wasn't on the foolishness page with the rest of you. I think that sounds kind of pompous.
You're talking about God.
No.
That's because that's who's God speaking. So that's
no
people saying
that it was. It wasn't that we were saying that God was saying that.
God was speaking through Paul in Paul's letter. The First Corinthians, and God is speaking to Isaiah here saying this.
I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it like Paul was saying it. And I thought, really, Paul? Okay. And then the pastor went along with it and half of the congregation, and I'm like sitting there going, I never thought what God did was foolish. I was just thankful that he did.
We saw it as foolish.
I never did.
Well,
not on your page.
I know you're not on our page, but the issue for us is, could we ever imagine that God would bring in a Savior by dying for us on the cross? And again, people were looking at that and saying, you got to be kidding me. A king should be coming in triumphantly, should be conquering through war and through strength and through all of this ambition and goals. And here comes Jesus saying forgiveness and no fight, no violence, love only.
He died, he was doing that.
That's why they're talking about the cross was foolish.
Not joining you.
You're not able to get through that, huh?
Not joining you on the topics.
Well, you're going to have to work on that a little bit and explain a little bit what's going on in a different direction.
I just keep thinking about the cross and how monumental it is in everything with Christianity and Catholicism, and for...
You have to start by where the cross was. The cross was an issue of control. The cross was an issue of demonstration and a convincing argument from the Romans of how they controlled the world and everybody around it. It was this factor of intimidation. It was the spear. It was the worst possible death anybody can expect in the worst possible way. It was humiliating. It was degrading. It was lengthy. It was dirty. It was ugly. It was horrible. What makes, and for the people to expect that from that kind of death, that's going to be our king and our savior? That's what the term verse and foolishness is.
Well, I was also confused about the conversation about Pontius Pilate. I mean, he was the backbone at that point of the Roman Empire. He was the pivotal person in all of this, and yet, and he had no spine and he had no mind, and then why was he in that position? I mean, what sense does that make?
Just like, how does anybody get appointed to a high-ranking official in government? Not because of necessarily their strength. Somebody knows somebody. It's family and relationships and money. Just the same in our government today. How do you think our most ambassadors become ambassadors? They donate enough money to whoever's president. And they find their way there, and they're part of a family cycle that makes it there. Pontius Pilate was not a strong leader. Pontius Pilate was a tyrant, like most of the Roman Empire was in their leadership. But at the same time, what he was after was self-preservation more than anything else. So, he was trying to find a way to get out from within the middle of all this. You know, so that's why it looked like he was empathetic and sympathetic, because he knew the Jews on one side, you know, that he had a battle there, and then he had Jews on another side, he had a battle there. Plus, he had to make the strength of the Roman Empire show that he had control, not the Jewish leadership at the time.
But yet he was so weak. That's the part I don't get.
Yeah, he was.
He totally folded. He didn't want to kill Jesus. He totally folded.
That's the way he's portrayed, Dawn. That's the way the movies have portrayed everything and what's going on. He was looking for the best way out. It wasn't that he was trying to save Jesus. He was just trying to find the safe way out of it. He knew that if
he was just trying to figure out whatever could work best to his advantage.
To keep himself safe, yeah.
But meanwhile, he was one of these leaders of the Roman Empire, wasn't he? He was.
I'm going to tell you, just like many of the governors of different provinces back then, they were appointed because of their abilities to support financially and control through other family histories and relationships to the ultimate emperor.
Well, this seems like in this pivotal decision, so strange that some no-brainer off the side half governor was the one that got to make such a big decision.
Again, God's ways are God's ways. Coming back to how God uses people and uses things to his expectations and to where he wants things to go. Jesus was going to die one way or the other, whatever Pontius Pilate did. God's plan. Okay.
I guess if they had a strong leader who wanted to follow the laws of the Roman Empire at that time, they wouldn't have killed Jesus.
No, the Romans had just as equal reason to kill as the Jews wanted to, Jesus did. So I'm not sure where you're going with that.
I don't know. I've watched too many movies. Now, obviously,
here's the issue, getting back to the text, okay, is whether or not Pontius Pilate really had an option of it. And I'm going to say, going back to the text here, this tells us that I don't think he did. Because I think, as it says here, your thoughts are not your thought. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. So no matter what Pontius Pilate thought he was going to decide, God was going to see to it that he saved the world through the death of Jesus on the cross. And Pontius Pilate, in that sense, was just a puppet of God, not of anything else. Because it was God's plan to have Jesus go through this pain to endure. It's for our salvation, it's for us in the future, for us to know that how much he loves us, that this is his sacrifice to us. So, you know, as we get into this text, we talked about this in the First Corinthians text as well, that, you know, we, in our own limitations, what can we really expect to understand about God's greater desire for the world? Could we ever really understand the full nature of what he's trying to accomplish and how he's trying to accomplish and how he uses tools that are strong and tools that are weak, tools that are least capable, and tools that maybe even are more capable. If he proves that he'll take down the power, and he talked to us today, where he will take the wise and have their wisdom lost by bringing up foolish people that would overwhelm the wise. He says that he will bring the weak to overcome the strong. You know, so he turns the world completely upside down to his benefit and to his glory. And that's where Isaiah is in this. You know, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. How can we ever understand what God is trying to do with the entire world? All we can do is see it through our little, as I said earlier, microcosm of who we think we are and what we think we're doing in this world and what, you know, we come exposed to. So when we get into this feeling all good about ourselves, that even in our Christian walk, as we think we understand, you know, we have to realize that as much as we try to understand, there's so much more out there yet that we'll never understand. And we should never be comfortable with them. We should always continue to grow, but never, ever believe that we can ever understand the entire picture and see the entire history of the world unfold in front of us as God is creating it. I don't know if that helps in any of your former thoughts or not, Dawn, but...
I'm still at the point of having so much difficulty with calling what God did foolish.
He's not calling what God did foolish. It's how we see it, and why would we ever think that that was the way for it to happen? That's the foolishness of it. So the foolishness is
maybe
calling us.
Maybe it's not so much like foolishness is a horrible word to me when you're talking about God, but maybe it's that we were so surprised that because that's not how we would have
not
seen
how we were seeing it, yeah.
It play out.
Right.
However, what could God do to make a bigger point than demonstrate his willingness even to suffer for himself to that degree?
Yeah. To think, to exactly, John. I think that's the issue. You know, how big of an impact to understand the depths of his sacrifice, to have his son go through everything that he endured, you know, to get our attention, to get our perspective and understanding of his life.
But here's another thing. God is God, and he knows that Jesus is merely him on earth in human form. And so he knew that this wasn't a huge sacrifice as far as he was concerned, but it was one that human beings would perceive as a huge sacrifice because of the way they live their lives on earth. And they, from their perspective, for a father to sacrifice his son.
If you're saying that as Jesus is always going to be in with God and as God,
yeah.
That God knows that Jesus isn't dead, but was going to have life from that context,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole issue is how we end up perceiving it or how we end up experiencing it and understanding it. Excuse me, most, right? And that is, you know, to get us to understand what he was trying to accomplish, it had to get to a point where we can see the sacrifice as something that we can relate to. And could we ever really relate to that deep of a sacrifice to hold our child up in front of God and say, here, take he or she, they're yours.
Everything about what God's put in front of us is about our perception and how he can help us see the way to him. And that's what's so cool about what you and I are doing here with these conversations, because I hope for many of the folks that are listening, they're seeing the connection of this very, very old book with all of these writings and stories and conversations from God directly to us. And they're being able to make that leap and make that connection to, yes, maybe they're talking about the Pharisees, but how does that relate to what we have in front of us today? And we just keep finding ways to pull that forward. It's kind of I find it very helpful, and I hope that the folks
right.
that are listening do well.
Well, and I hope so too, Dawn. And you know, I want to focus in on that first verse for a second, because I think this is critical. We see this often, and we often get criticized as Christians. Of being zealots and being, I don't know, insensitive to others, okay? But I want to focus in on this verse that neither are your ways my ways. We have to be very cautious to understand the nature of our Christian faith. You know, we think that because of our walk in faith, this is how everybody should walk in faith. We think that this is how it is and where everybody should be and along their timeline and their journey of faith. And we expect the world to, as we grow deeper, we expect the world to be deeper along this, right? But God puts it right here in front of us in Isaiah. Your ways are not my ways. So as much as you think that's the right way because that's the current walk that you're taking and your path that you're walking with God, that's not necessarily what Jane Doe down the street is or Bob Smith across the country does or someone around the globe is walking. We need to understand that God has a plan for everybody. And what we think our job and our responsibility is to smother them with our brand and our version of where we're at in our journey, we have to be very cautious to that.
I just so much want to say that I love our conversations because I read this and all I see is a conversation between God and myself. And you add that extra dimension to say, no, wait, there's more to this. And it isn't just about you and God, but it's you and you and you and you and God and all of these different paths that people are taking in their faith journey.
I'm glad you find it helpful. I'm hoping that our audience does too, and that'd be wonderful if they are. And I hope it makes sense to everybody to understand that what we are trying to do is to come into a common understanding of love through God's mercy for us. And when we get to a point where we are so confident in who we think we are, we have to be reminded of texts like this. And no matter how confident we are, who we are, we're still nothing compared to what God wants us to be. We're still nothing to what God's plan overall for the world is.
I don't think God wants to be him, though.
No.
I mean, there's always going to be
right.
His thoughts and not our thoughts.
Exactly. And that's important. We never want to be so righteous and so self-righteous that we think we got it all.
That we've got to figure it out.
That we can proclaim it that way to everyone else. And that's why we always talk about a process and a pathway, because the process is going to mean that people are at different places at different times, and they're going to be in and out of their understanding and struggling a little bit longer, a little bit less, getting some things, taking a step forward, taking a step back. And the pathway is always similar, but it's always customized to the individual because God has an individual plan. God brought that person and created that person with talents and gifts for his purposes that person needs to try to
so
understand.
So you don't think God's plan is fluid?
Oh, I think it's very fluid, but it's so large that there's no way I can understand the entire plan. That's my point. If anything, I may be able to understand it with a group of people that I normally communicate with on faith matters and spiritual matters, but I don't see it as something that I can really get in total. Right? Because somewhere in the world right now, somebody is working in a similar way that we are, but maybe going about saying and doing some things differently and using other media and other formats. And maybe they're even saying some things contrary to what we're saying, but it's beneficial to whoever their audience is, right? And that's important for us to accept. And for us to think that where our conversation leads anybody is exactly the ending point of where they should be, we're
there is
fooling
no
ourselves.
Landing here.
Yeah, no, there is, right. So we go back to that word foolishness, because that would be foolishness on our part, that we would be so confident that we would think that we know the destination for any of our listeners. We don't. All we hope to do is to open them up to the intrigue and the interest to find God working in them and around them.
And to get them to ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the most important issues. Ask questions of yourself. Ask questions of God. Ask questions of others. It's so much opportunity to learn in so many different ways. Let me share with you. I'm going to jump down to Matthew 11:25, and I love this statement in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is Jesus. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. And I think this ties rather well to our conversation this morning and our conversation this afternoon, that here is Jesus saying he's giving glory and thanks to God because you have brought the wise a new perspective by hiding things from them and having the infants, the children of this world, those that they would look upon as being foolish and small with no capabilities to prove to them how wrong they are. And I just love that statement. To ever be so boastful in who we think we are in Christ is being put on its head right now in this phrase. And if we are to boast about anything, we are to boast in the Lord. And we hear that from Paul throughout the gospel. So, in his commentary, it goes through, both the thoughts and the acts of God surpass man's understanding. Men find it hard to pardon those who have offended them. God can pardon, and God pardons abundantly. Men cannot conceive of coming changes when they pass certain limits. God knows assuredly what changes are approaching, since they are all his doing. Right? And I think that's, you know, just to illustrate the magnitude and again, the breadth and depth of what God can do.
Oh, and he sets the limits, so there are no limits for God.
There are none, and we know that in our own feeble way, we really do have limits. As soon as we recognize that for ourselves, we're better off. And then the other issue that I didn't talk to this morning, and I want to talk to just briefly now in the last couple of moments, is that we have to get through who we think we are. You know, and that's where I think the text from last week and the text this week and our conversation this morning really comes back to bear. As long as we keep holding on to who we think we are in our own righteousness, what we think we know about the world, it's going to not yield the fruit that God's labor that God wants us to labor for. We have to free ourselves of our own desires, our own ambitions, our own bias, our own prejudices, and be open to receive what God wants us to be and who he wants to be in this world. So I think we've kind of walked quite far around this one tonight. We maybe veered a little bit off course there, but for good purposes, I think. But we came back.
I frequently veer, so if you're not up for veering, you need a new co-host.
I think our audience probably appreciates that. At least I believe they do. Anything you want to close with, Dawn, in our last couple of moments here?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we hope that this has been enjoyable to you. Keep us in prayers this week for this ministry. We have opportunity. At least we believe God is calling us for that. And if it is his will, it will happen. But keep us in prayers to strengthen us and keep us patient in the deliberations and discussions.
I've got the patience thing. I'm good.
Okay. All right. With that, we have a few friends out there who we're very thankful for. We saw again today in church. So thank you, Lord, for bringing them back and strengthening them through this week. And we just ask that you continue to bless them and move them forward in their lives. We have several on our hearts that are going through some hardships with health right now, and we just ask for God's infinite mercy and his healing power to come into their lives. Surround them with a lot of people that can just love them and care for them, that have the skills to watch over them. With that, Lord, we give you thanks for this ministry. We give you thanks for this half hour to spend with people and share your word. And we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith.
Bye now.
Have a good evening.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.